What should the state of Wisconsin do about the projected $5.4 billion budget shortfall? Former Wisconsin Governor Tony Earl, who faced a similar fiscal crisis when he was in office, will weigh in on that question in this edition of our State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just about 10 past 7 on this Monday, December the 8th. And we will welcome your questions and views for former Governor Tony Earl. And we want to know what advice you have for our state legislators and Governor Doyle, who are debating right now how to deal with a massive budget shortfall fueled by the recession and declining tax revenues. Governor Doyle remains steadfast that cuts should be the first order of business.
I think we all hope we can get it done, but I guess if we're going to have to talk about revenues, we'll talk about it another day. But I want to be able to demonstrate to people that we have done everything as a state that we can do to get this done without tax increases.
So to cut spending or to increase taxes or both, that is the question. How does the state fill a $5.4 billion hole in the state budget? We will wonder if the past has an answer for the future as we talk with former Governor Tony Earl, who in 1983 opted for a temporary 10% surcharge to state income and corporate taxes, and a permanent 1% increase in the state's sales tax. Governor Earl joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
I'm glad to do it.
I took those numbers out of a recent State Journal article. Is that about right? A 10% temporary surcharge on state income taxes and corporate taxes?
That is correct.
Yeah, and now we still are paying that extra 1% increase in the state sales tax, too.
That is correct. Governor Dreyfus, my predecessor, had put the temporary tax on the sales tax, and I let it become permanent. I did put a 10% surcharge on income taxes, and we were able to roll that off within 2 years after we had gotten out of the deficit and paid our bills.
Yeah, so why did you advocate for that?
Well, the income tax, in my mind, is the fairest of all the taxes, and a surcharge on the income tax can go on and be rolled off, and we're back to where we began. With the sales tax, if you put an addition on it and you roll off the 1 cent, it isn't reflected in the price of the goods and services to which it applies. It's going to stay right there, and the taxpayer doesn't get back to where he was at the beginning. So I thought that the income tax surcharge was the fairest way to go, and it certainly worked as well as we had anticipated.
Yeah. Well, how did today's economic times and the budget fix we're in now compare to what you were facing in 93 or 83?
Yeah, obviously the numbers are far higher, but the situation, it was very, very similar. The general purpose revenues were way, way down. We were in debt. The unemployment compensation system was broken. We were borrowing $1 million a day just to pay people who were on unemployment comp. The transportation fund was broken. Indeed, we were in such bad shape that we literally could not pay our bills. We had to enact an extraordinary remedy for that. We borrowed for operations. We borrowed to create a device called operating notes. Yep, that was challenged in the Supreme Court, but it was sustained. So things were every bit as bad then, considering the environment we were in, as they are now.
You know, Governor Doyle is insisting that we should cut our way out of this this mess and avoid general tax increases. Is that possible to do, in your opinion?
No. Quite frankly, it's not. In order to cut, I read in one of the local papers, the magnitude of the deficit is such that in order to cut our way out, we'd have to cut out 2 years of support for the University of Wisconsin system. That's some idea of what how huge this is. Now, obviously, cuts have to be a part of the solution, but I don't think there's any way to cut our way out of this deficit. Part of the problem we have is that governors of both parties for a number of years have now ignored the problem, and it's gotten so large, I think that it's going to take something radical to correct it.
Yeah, well, some attribute your re-election loss to Tommy Thompson in 1986 to your support of these tax increases. Isn't that why there might be reluctance to do such a thing?
Well, if people read it that way, they're reading it wrong. The folks who voted for the 10% surcharge on the income tax when I was governor, every one of them was reelected in the next two-year cycle. I didn't come up for 4 years, and I think there were a lot of other issues that led to my involuntary retirement. It was prisons in Milwaukee, it were social issues, etc. The tax issue did not play a big part at all in the campaign of 1986.
We are talking with former Wisconsin Governor Tony Earle about how Governor Doyle and the next state legislature ought to approach the state's $5.4 billion budget deficit. Governor Doyle is saying he wants to avoid general tax increases, but some Democrats are saying something different. Should the state hike taxes along with cuts, spending cuts? 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your questions and your views for former Governor Earle. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, December the 8th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. According to Ben's guest after 5, the United Nations has been unsuccessful, largely due to its structure. And Ben's guest will share his thoughts on what else is needed to resolve global problems. That's after 5 this afternoon during At Issue with Ben Marins. We are talking with former Wisconsin Governor Tony Earle about the state's fiscal crisis and our projected $5.4 billion budget deficit. Former Governor Tony Earle, during his administration in the early 80s, opted for raising taxes temporarily, including, though, a permanent 1% increase in the state's sales tax. Is something similar required this time around? He says yes. What do you say? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Before we go to the phones, Governor Earle, what about the Republicans who are saying that raising taxes during a recession like the one we're in right now will terribly hurt families and businesses and do more harm than good?
Clearly, pardon me, clearly nobody likes to increase taxes, but you've got to pay the bills. And I think it's one of the shames of the last 20 years or so that people are afraid to utter the word tax. Taxes are the price we pay for the veneer of civilization, as someone once said. We wouldn't have our universities, our roads, our clean environment, etc., without taxes. And I think we have to have an honest discussion about taxes. I think not only are we going to need a tax increase, but this is an opportunity to make some much-needed changes in our tax structure. For example, the sales tax only applies to goods. It doesn't apply to services, even though we've become a service economy. The only services that we tax with the sales tax are things like pet grooming and lawn maintenance. We don't go at the big items, including the legal profession, the medical profession, etc. Why are they exempt? In the income tax, many interests have carved out exemptions for themselves or deductions. So we ought to use this as an opportunity to take a hard look at our tax structure and to reform it.
Well, our lines are full for the moment. Oh, one just opened up, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And our first caller is Jim in Wausau. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good to hear from you. I just wanted to bring two points up. One is I believe that, number one, we should always be looking to cut spending in our state budget. It shouldn't just be because of a financial windfall. There's no reason the government should not be acting and thinking like every other business in the state of Wisconsin and in the United States.
Well, I guess we're going to miss your second point, Jim, because your cell phone went away. But, we should always be cutting spending, not just during a fiscal crisis, Governor Earle.
Sure. I think we always have to look at ways to cut spending. But the fact of the matter is this state has been growing. There are more and more people going to the university, for example, more and more people traveling on the roads, more and more people seeking recreation out of doors. You can't continue to fund the programs that I just mentioned with a growing demand on them with the revenues that we had in the past.
Give us some perspective, Governor Earle. A lot of people say, well, we can, you know, just cut spending. You did say that in order to get rid of this kind of a deficit, it would mean multiple years of not operating or funding the University of Wisconsin system?
That's correct. You take a look, 500, you know, the numbers are just staggering. And you certainly can't do it by fooling around on the edges. If people are serious about trying to cut our way out of this, you have to take a look at where the big spending items are. And they are state aid for local schools. They are state support of the University of Wisconsin system. Those are the kinds of programs you would have to go at. And that just doesn't make sense. I think that those who look at our way to get out of the certain dilemma we're in now say education is a real key, and we can't go at either K-12 or the university system with draconian cuts and expect that won't hurt the opportunities for people to get decent jobs in the immediate future and the long term.
Our next caller is Dwayne in Milwaukee. Hi, Dwayne, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think everybody else in private industry has been taking pay cuts for quite a few years. We're losing all of our good jobs, and people are being retrained at jobs that pay considerably less. Why do we have to pay higher taxes making less money? And all of our government officials and government employees, they don't take any pay cuts.
Well, I think it's appropriate that legislators and other elected officials take pay cuts. I don't think that that's out of the question at all. But we can't get our way out of this hole we're in simply by doing that. If that's a part of the solution, that's fine. But it certainly isn't the whole solution.
Mark in Waukesha is with us now. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi. What we're talking about, if we increase taxes, is $1,000 per Wisconsin resident to come up with $5 billion. Now, I own a small business, and we have to make the tough decisions about laying off, about what to pay and what not to pay at times. And to increase taxes $1,000 per Wisconsin resident, and that would be a family of four, would increase $4,000. That blows my mind.
Well, I'm certainly not suggesting that we do the whole thing by taxes. I'm saying that that has to be a part of the solution. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, are you going to suggest that we lay off police and fire, that we lay off the faculty at the university? You can't do that. Now, pay cuts, I think, are appropriate in a time like this, but they aren't going to get you all the way out of it.
Thanks very much, Mark, for the call. Our lines are busy. Dean in Kenosha is with us now. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. Yeah, I've got some bad news for Tony. The government, just like all the private people at home, are going to have to live within their budget, period. And that might mean, yes, you will have to lay off some police, some fire. You will have to reduce taxes. You will have to take a look at the retirement programs for the state legislators and those folks. and have to sit down with all of your suppliers and partakers, just like the automotive industry, and everybody take less, including the teachers.
All right, losing Dean as well. Governor Earle, people don't want their taxes raised, at least a number of our callers.
Oh, sure. It's not a popular position to take, but I think anybody who is objective and takes a look at the magnitude of the problem we have will realize that we cannot do this all by cuts. And we're required by our Constitution to have a balanced budget. We have to balance the budget. As I indicated, a series of unfortunate budget decisions over the years have got us in this problem. When Governor Thompson left, he left a deficit for Governor McCallum. Governor McCallum used creative budgeting to try to get through it without truly balancing the budget, and he passed on the deficit to Jim Doyle. Jim Doyle has tried for a term plus to use creative budgeting to get us out of the mix, and now the problem is just too big to ignore. We can't use smoke and mirrors. We have to balance the budget, and I don't think we can continue to be in denial and suggest we can do that without considering the revenue side as well as the expenditure side.
Yeah, we. What about not general tax increases, but we've heard Governor Doyle talk about this hospital tax that would get more Medicaid money to the state of Wisconsin, taxing oil company profits. A caller just wanted to know, what about increasing gas tax or alcohol tax? Couldn't we put a bunch of these little tax hikes together?
Sure, we can do some of that. But as I said, it seems to me it makes sense, if we're going to look at the revenue side, to try to look at ways we can reform the tax structure as well as to simply consider how we can get some more out of it. I thought that Governor Doyle's proposal, which he made some time ago about the hospital tax, makes some sense, and it increases the revenues we would get from the federal government. But none of those individually or collectively are large enough to address the magnitude of the problem we have.
And Corey in Delafield is with us now. Hi, Corey. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. Governor Earle, I'm a small business owner, and
yes,
I have a problem with your position that there should be a sales tax on services. I think that's a ridiculous proposition. I feel that I'm already overburdened with regulations and other things related to tax filings, and I already pay substantial income tax on the state and federal level, and personally I have had problems keeping employees because there are a lot of regulations that are added, and to have someone on a part-time basis or seasonal, I've literally had the state keep billing me during the periods where I don't have an employee, so I'm at the point now where I'm keeping my business smaller rather than growing it because...
And I'm sorry, Corey, we're almost at our news time, so we're going to have to wait until after news for Governor Earle to respond to your concerns. We are talking with former Wisconsin Governor Tony Earle about what to do about the budget crisis, the fiscal crisis that the state of Wisconsin is in right now, and we will welcome your questions for him after the news. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the options before the state legislature and Governor Doyle when it comes to dealing with the state's anticipated $5.4 billion budget deficit. I'm Joy Cardine, happy to have you with us on this Monday, December the 8th. It's 7:36, and happy to have former Governor Tony Earle with us to talk about the lessons he learned dealing with a similar fiscal crisis when he was in office in the early 80s. Taxes did go up then. Should they go up now? Governor Earle says yes. Says the answer to our budget crisis lies in cutting spending and raising taxes, because spending cuts alone won't make up a $5.4 billion shortfall. He suggests removing the sales tax exemption on services would be a good start. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We just heard from a caller before news time, Corey in Delafield, who in particular didn't like that idea of taxing legal services or medical services. He says as a small business owner, he's got a hard enough time making ends meet. Governor Earl, he says that he pays high enough taxes already and deals with all sorts of other state regulations. What are you trying to do to him?
Well, one option that he has beyond laying off folks, and he said he's done that, and beyond cutting salaries for them, is to increase the price of the goods or services that he delivers. And I'm sure that he and others in the same position have to consider that as well. That is, they have to increase revenues when cutting just won't get it done for him. And the state is a purveyor of a wide array of services, and I'm suggesting that the state is going to have to increase what it charges through taxes for those services it provides.
Yeah. Besides the sales tax exemptions, getting rid of those, in fact, I think we have a call in to State Senator Bob Jauch, who is proposing a bill to do just that. And we might have him on this week. Joe Winicky, the Democratic Party chair, is advocating for a broad income tax increase, at least as a temporary solution. I'm assuming he means a temporary surcharge like what your
yes.
administration did. Would you think we need that, too?
Well, the attractive, if I can use that word, the attractive thing about a surcharge is that once the books are balanced, you can roll it off. It does not get built into the permanent base. And I know people are very worried about permanently increasing the rates of our income tax structure. We don't have to do that. We can use the surcharge, which we used in 83 and part of 84. And once we had our books balanced, we rolled it off. I think that there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah. What about Governor Earl? The stimulus package proposed by President-elect Obama and the federal money he's promising states to create jobs, to rebuild infrastructure projects, roads and bridges and the like, will that make a big difference in our current budget situation?
No, it won't, unfortunately. It's going to take a long, long time, as the president-elect has said. We're not going to get out of this in a hurry. And assuming that Wisconsin gets hundreds of millions of dollars for infrastructure projects, that money isn't going to go into the state coffers. That money will go to contractors, to suppliers of goods, who in turn will pay taxes on that. But there won't be an impact on the state's revenue picture from that for a long time.
Back to the phones we go, and Dan in White Lake is our next caller. Hi, Dan, you're on the air.
Good morning. I agree that we are going to have to raise taxes substantially, but I think that this is also a perfect opportunity to save a heck of a lot of money by going back to a state legislature. These clucks in Madison just spit at each other for almost a year trying to put our budget together with their horrible staffs that are grossly overrated and overpaid and overstaffed. We could cut literally hundreds of millions of dollars out of the state budget by having these people there for 4 months every biennium and send them home for the rest of the time. What say you to that?
Well, I do. I don't agree with the exact prescription, but I do agree with your observation that the legislature got to be a very spiteful place over the past few years where people would rather argue than come to grips with issues. I do think that a case can be made for cutting back the time that the legislature is in session. I do think a case can be made for the fact that the legislature and the staff ought to, at the very least, have salaries frozen and perhaps even cut back some. All that makes sense. I don't think we'd get hundreds of millions. I do think we'd get millions, and I do think it would set a very important example for people that those who are making the rules begin by applying them to themselves.
Thank you, Dan. Now to Stephanie in Madison. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for the show. I was just calling to say that maybe you could explain to me or your guest could where we get this negative attitude about taxes. I just wasn't brought up that way, and I don't know why people don't understand that if we don't have taxes, we don't have services. And I don't know why people are so short-sighted about that. Like, we need good schools, we need roads, we need things like that. and parks. And so I don't understand where this negative taxes thing is coming from and why people are so ignorant about that kind of thing.
Where does the negative attitude toward taxes come from, Governor Earle?
Well, nobody likes to pay taxes in any event, but it was always understood to be a part of the bargain that citizens paid taxes for the services they got. It's only been in fairly recent times that the mention of taxes have become toxic in the political arena. And this may sound partisan, but I think it is true. The very conservative wing of the Republican Party has made the mention of taxes anathema. Grover Norquist and those folks in Washington started it, and it has, as I said, it has poisoned our political dialogue. We got to get back where people like Stephanie and others say, at least it's worth talking about. We have to take that into account. And I hope that we're at that stage. I have seen in the papers and heard on the news that there are some legislators now in the current legislature, the new legislature that will take their seats in January, who are willing to consider taxes and not just raising the rates, as I've said, but reforming the structure as well.
Yeah, didn't there's been a mantra in recent years about Wisconsin getting out of the top 10 states when it comes to taxation, because those critics, mainly Republicans, did say, hey, Wisconsin shouldn't be in the top 10 of highest tax states when our incomes aren't anywhere near that.
When I was governor, that argument was made regularly, and people would say, we've got to be one of the low-tax states. Is there anybody in your listening audience who would trade our government and our services for those of Mississippi and Alabama, for example? I doubt it very, very much. If you are in the low-tax area, you get inferior services, and in the bargain, I don't see employers rushing to Mississippi and Alabama to set up shop. That isn't happening. Madison, here in Wisconsin, is one of the higher taxed regions in the state. It's also economically the most prosperous region in the state because employers seek an educated workforce, and they want good services for themselves and their employees. So the notion that you're going to prosper by cutting taxes to the bone isn't borne out by real-life experience. We're Wisconsin. We're not Mississippi, thank God.
We are talking with former Governor Tony Earle about the current budget crisis that we are in now and comparing it to the one he faced as governor in the early 1980s. Back in 1983, Governor Earle led the effort to add a temporary 10% surcharge to state and corporate taxes, and he raised the state's sales tax by 1% in order to solve that budget crisis back then. And he says a similar solution is probably called for this time around, a combination of tax increases and spending cuts. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, December the 8th. Coming up on this second Monday of the month, Mike Crane, our Chief Operating Officer for Wisconsin Public Radio, will be with us to share some news about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions and to hear your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio. That's Mike Crane in for Phil Corvo coming up in our next hour. Right now, talking with Tony Earle, the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, about fixing the budget mess and welcoming your thoughts and questions for him. Our next caller is Lance in Green Bay. Hi, Lance. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess I have a comment and a question. My comment is I don't like taxes, but I understand the need for them. I like having police. I like having firemen. And Americans need to realize that we pay a lot less taxes than most countries out there. And my question is, I know that a lot of states aren't under these budget issues. I mean, what can we as Wisconsinites learn from these other states, how they do their budget? Thank you. I'll take my call up here.
All right. Thanks, Lance.
All right. Well, you're absolutely right. Our tax rate in this country is low compared to European nations, for example. And that's no argument, I guess, for us necessarily to get up to the rates of the Scandinavian countries. But nonetheless, it's worth observing that they have high tax rates and they have a very high standard of living, a good degree of prosperity. So increasing taxes does not mean that we're going to hurt ourselves economically. I believe it's quite the contrary if you get the right kind of services for the taxes you pay. I don't know. I'm trying to think of how we can take a look at what other states do to improve our situation. Part of it is, I think, to take a look at extending the sales tax to services as well as to goods. I do think it makes some sense to re-examine the rates that are charged in the income tax. But I don't think there's any magic, any silver bullet out there that one state has found a relatively painless and efficacious way to raise taxes. I think it's always going to be painful. Our responsibility, it seems to me, is to make sure that it is fair and that the services we get are in line with high standards of quality.
Well, Governor Doyle has said on numerous occasions that he wants to avoid tax increases. He wants to work on cutting the budget wherever possible. And just last week, he also talked about not delaying tax cuts that were promised to certain groups.
If you have to raise tax revenue, there are probably better ways to do it than essentially tax Social Security. I'm not sure why we ever did it in the first place.
Oh, I thought he was going to talk a little bit more, but yeah, what about that, Governor Earle?
Well, we're facing what Governor Doyle is saying is somewhat similar to the debate that's going on in Washington, or will go on, when George Bush proposed his tax cuts. He said, don't worry, they won't create a huge deficit because they will expire in 2010. Well, now people are saying if you let those cuts expire, that's the equivalent to a tax increase. It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. And similarly, I don't know how state government, much less the federal government, can afford to be offering tax cuts at a time when we're so deeply in the red.
Our next caller is Denise in Madison. Hi, Denise, you're on the air.
Hi. My comment is pretty much polar opposite to what I've been hearing. I believe Governor Doyle campaigned and said cannot, will not, must not increase taxes, and he has increased taxes and fees throughout his administration. The spending is outrageous. I believe the chancellor of the university system got something like a 50% increase in pay just last year. You know, he takes money from Peter to pay Paul to finance the education for illegal aliens who, frankly, I think should be packed up and sent home.
Yeah, what tax increases have you experienced, Denise? Or are you
spending, and in a major way, there's no way they can increase taxes. I cannot afford to pay more taxes. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you because I am driving and need to let go.
All right, thanks. Didn't hear what taxes were raised that bothered her. But what about that? The spending is just outrageous. And she pointed to high salaries for UW.
And illegal aliens, yeah, which become a very convenient target. We could get rid of any benefits that go to illegal aliens, and it wouldn't amount to much at all. I don't know what they get besides absolutely essential health care in a time of distress. We have not built our budget deficit by extending services to illegal aliens. And in terms of what folks at the university are paid, We pay what the market demands. We're not going to have a great university if we try to bring in people at the substandard salaries. I don't think the people at the university are, as a general proposition, overpaid. As I say, the market sets the price that those folks get. And when you take a look at what our people in the universities get as compared to, for example, what the executives in the banking industry or in the auto industry are getting, those people who are in seeking bailouts, well, there's no comparison at all.
All right. Our next caller is Mark in Solon Springs. Hi, you're on the air. Mark, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
Go ahead, please.
Well, I think that the government, Wisconsin government, just wasn't responsible for all their spending. The scenario is that there's so much fuel in our fuel tank, and they left the garage doors open. They turned the heat up and didn't close the doors and weren't responsible for what was being spent.
Well, you know, there's something to that. As I said earlier, beginning back at the end of Governor Thompson's term, the legislature and the governor at that time were hell-bent for increasing expenditures, and we were in economic good times then, but they built into the budget these very high costs going out. For example, very grandly, both Democrats and Republicans said the state's going to pay two-thirds of all local education costs. Well, that was easy to say, but now we're stuck with that promise. It isn't two-thirds anymore, by the way. It's gotten eroded. But that is what happened. People were not responsible as they ought to have been, taking a look at what the effect of some of those spending decisions would be in the out years.
Next is Josh in Superior. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. I live up here in Superior. I work for UW-Superior, and I don't make that much money. My wife and I combined make less than $30,000 a year. I continuously hear people talk about how we need our taxes cut. They can't afford to pay taxes. But at some point, we need to just stand back and look at what we want. Do we want to have these services or not? I would gladly pay an extra 10, 15, 20% if I needed to. I don't make any money, and it doesn't make that much difference to me because I know what it's going for. And I see a greater good as providing these services.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I wish there were... I hope there are more people who hold that sentiment out there, because we're going to have this kind of discussion, and people do have to take a look at what we get from government, including education and a clean environment and highways, all of those things, and decide if it's worth it. And I think everybody wants the services. There's no doubt about that. But with that comes the responsibility to pay for those services.
Yeah. Boy, our lines have just been packed all hour long. And we have time for one more, I think. Max in West Bend. Hi, Max. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a really easy solution for you.
Okay.
Budget deficit. Legalize cannabis and tax it.
All right. Tax. Legalize marijuana and tax it.
I think that the medical use of marijuana is more and more accepted now. I know our neighboring state of Michigan in this last election passed a referendum to authorize that. I don't have any moral problems with that, but I sure don't think the taxes on it are going to be very, very significant.
I'm going to bring up just a very slightly related topic in terms of, I guess, nonviolent drug offenders being put into prison. The corrections takes a big bite out of the budget, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and that is a place to save money. Our neighboring state of Minnesota, which is the same population we are, the same cultural background, etc., incarcerates one-third of the number of people that we do here in Wisconsin. And in the bargain, Minnesota has a lower recidivism rate. That's certainly something we can look at. Back in the late 80s and early 90s, the state went on a prison-building binge, and we've got to reexamine that, and many, many of the people who are there for drug offenses, and
it makes little sense. We're not protecting society by keeping those people locked up indefinitely.
Yeah, and indeed, was it a prison building issue that probably hurt your reelection
chances? Oh, sure. I said if they were going to build another prison, we ought to put it in Milwaukee because that's where a very large percentage of the prisoners come from. They would at least have contact with families. We could at least have hired minority people to work in the prisons, but no, that wasn't acceptable. People would rather that we transport prisoners to Waupun, Green Bay, and now to Stanley and all Black River Falls, all over the state.
Well, you certainly very courageous then and now, Governor Earl. Thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Joy. And I understand the frustrations of many of your callers, but I hope that the legislature and the governor take this kind of debate seriously.
I'm sure we will have not heard the last of this.
No, I'm sure.
Thank you very much for being with us.
You're more than welcome.
Tony Earl, former governor of the state of Wisconsin. Thanks to Rob Ferret for producing the hour. Thanks to Bill Martins for on-air production. Thank you for listening. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network.